Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and today we are on Lesson 8 of Revelation Part 1. And our lesson today will be in Revelation Chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And before we start, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father, that you had it all written down, that we today can study your truths, that we are able to get the message that you had written down in ages past, Father. And we know that we can't understand it without your Holy Spirit. So, Father, our prayer today is that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, direct us, and teach us your precious word. And Father, may we take it, may we heed it, may we live it out, Father, to glorify your name. And we pray this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, looking back, we have been looking at the churches that Jesus, God himself, gave Jesus the message to give to the angel, to give to John there on the island of Patmos, and he was told to write it down. Now, we know that this message was to the churches, the seven churches that had been established after the resurrection of Jesus. And now we're looking at the future, and this is all about what is to take place in the future. He said that he knew the past, he knew the present, and he knew the future, Jesus himself. And as we've been studying, we studied about Ephesus, the first church, then Smyrna, then Pergamon, then Thyatira, and then Sardis. And then today, our study is about the book, the letter that was sent to the church of Philadelphia. Now, Ephesus, we learned, was a church that had left or abandoned their first love, and they were in a danger of losing their church unless they repented. And then Smyrna was the persecuted church, and they were called to be faithful to death. And this was the only other church to which no reproof was spoken, because they were doing the things that Jesus had said for them to do. And then in looking at the church at Pergamon, it was a compromising church. And in the midst, it was in the midst of false teaching where Satan's throne was, and some were holding to the false teachings. And then we looked at the letter that was written by Jesus to Thyatira, and it was a corrupt church, and it was called to repent because they tolerated false teaching and sin. Now, the church we studied in our last lesson was Sardis, and Jesus said they were dead. And they were called to repent. And Jesus was going to come to warn them if they didn't repent. So that brings us up to the church of Philadelphia that we're studying about in our lesson. This is lesson 8 today. Now, the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. And some of the things that we kind of need to know about the history of Philadelphia. Philadelphia Church served as a link in communication and trade. The town, not just the church, but the city of Philadelphia, was communication for trade between Sardis and Pergamon to the west. It was there, and Laodicea and Hierapolis to the east. And Philadelphia was a place from where the Greco-Roman civilization could spread. And it was located about 25 miles southeast of Sardis. And it was destroyed. This city of Philadelphia was destroyed by an earthquake in AD 17, but it was rebuilt by Tiberius less than 80 years before John wrote the book of Revelation. And this city of Philadelphia was known for the pagan temples. They worshiped idols, and they built many pagan temples where they worshiped. And it was also an agricultural center and leather goods industry. So those are some of the things that we learn in history about the Church of Philadelphia. So now let's read the scriptures here in the word that were given to John to write down. And this is the message, starting with Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and make them know that I have loved you, because you have kept my word of perseverance. I also will keep you from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, looking back at the study that we have seen in the letters to each church, every letter that was written to each church begins with a certain phrase, and that phrase is a description of Jesus himself. And then he ends his letters with the same phrase that says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So be aware as you study to see that Jesus is writing letters to each of these churches. And in the beginning of the is the description, we see here in verse 7, "And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write." So this is Jesus saying to the angel to write this letter to Philadelphia. And this is what he says that describes himself. "He," Jesus, "who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and he shuts and no one opens, says this." So he is saying here that I, Jesus, am holy. And we know that holy means separated or set apart or consecrated. So Jesus is a holy one. And in the scriptures, we look at some of the things that tells us about the holiness and the righteousness of God. Now, today I'm not taking time to read through all these scriptures because there's too many, but I'm going to give you the scripture to read, and then you can go back. So write these scriptures down, and then you will see what is being said by Jesus about his holiness. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69, and Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Now, these are verses that explains the holiness. Luke 1 says that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. He was holy from his conception throughout his life on earth. Now, in John 6, Peter spoke for the 12, for the 12 disciples, when he said they knew Jesus was the Holy One of God. And then in Mark 1:24, we see that the disciples were not the only ones who knew that. Even the unclean spirits or demons knew who Jesus was. Now, another thing that Jesus writes about himself is that he is true. And we see that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, as opposed to verse 9, where those of the synagogue of Satan lived or lied when they called themselves Jews. Jesus was totally opposite of these that were spoken of here in verse 9. And that's what he is saying, that he is truth. He is true. In John chapter 14, we see in verse 6 that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we know that Jesus is true and that he is holy. And then he goes on to say that he has the key of David. Now, when you look at the book of Job, you see where he explains this. And in Isaiah, let's see, that's chapter 22, verse 22. And also in Matthew 16, verse 19. So here we see that Jesus has a direct descendant. He has the key of David. He is a direct descendant of King David, and he is a King of Kings. Now, in Revelation 5 that we were studying in our observation, as we did the observation in the beginning of the first chapters, in chapter 5, verse 5 and verses 22, and I'll read those. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals." And then as we read in chapter in Revelation 22, and let's see if I have that scripture. I think I have it here. Okay. I don't see that here, so I'm going to just read it from the Bible in chapter Revelation chapter 22, and we're looking at verse 16, and I'll read that. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." So here you see that he has the key of David, because he is the offspring of David. He is from King David himself. And then he goes on in the description and says, "He opens and no one shuts, and no one opens." He who opens. The keys to shut and to unlock and to open, only the one with the key can unlock and lock, open and shut. And that shows the authority of Jesus. So in looking at some of the scriptures, we see in the book of Isaiah, chapter 22, verse 22, "The one over the household was given the key of David." The statement in verse 22 is almost the same as what we read here in Revelation 3, verse 7. So in Matthew 16, verse 19, "The one with the key has the authority for what was opened and shut, and who went in and went out." So there are many scriptures that we see that tell us about the covenant of David, and how that Jesus is a descendant of King David. And also, as we go forward, we see more scripture, Revelation 1:5 and verse 18, and Matthew 28, verse 18, and John 5, verse 21, and 26 through 29. All of these verses give us information about his authority, how that he can open and shut and shut, and no one can open. Now, the next thing that we want to look at that Jesus is saying here in these verses is the commendation that he gives to the church in the letter. So, what did he say then about them in the commendation? Let's look at those verses. He said, "I know your deeds. I know that you have a little power. And I know that you have kept my word. And I know that you have not denied my name." Now, here he's talking about their performance, their efforts, their toil, their labor, when he says that I know your deeds are your works, because they have been given that power through him, through their salvation. And also the power that they have. Here we see again, this is the fourth time that he said this in one of the messages that he gave to Ephesus, Thyatira, and Sardis. But the other two, Smyrna and Pergamon, he said he knew something about the church. He said, I know your tribulation. And to Pergamon, he said, I know where you dwell. And as the one with the key, he put an open door before the believers in this church. And they had a little power. That key was the authority and the power that Jesus had given to them. He kept his word, or they kept his word, and they didn't deny his name. Now, here we see in this study that the synagogue of Satan was mentioned in the connection with both Smyrna and Philadelphia. So, in verse 9 here, evidently the church at Philadelphia was being persecuted by the local Jewish synagogue composed of evil men under Satan's control. In other words, there in the synagogue were some Jews that were evil men under Satan's control. It's like our churches today. They are mostly, or we hope, mostly Christians, believers in Christ, but there's always those among the church that are under Satan's control. They're not true believers. And although the Jews believed that God loved them because of his covenant that he made with Israel, they missed the fact that Jesus was their true Messiah, the Holy One of God. And they were saying they were the true people of God when they belonged to the devil. Now, in John verse 17, chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus said, I do not ask you. This was the priestly prayer that Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. And he prayed in that priestly prayer for himself first, and then he prayed for the disciples, and then he prayed for all believers, all of us today. And this is what he said to the Father as he prayed there in John chapter 17, verse 15. I do not ask you, Father, Jesus said to God, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. In other words, he was saying that he didn't ask for God to take them out of the world, but was to protect them and keep them from the evil one that was in the world. And then in John 12, he said, Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. And when he prayed for himself, he didn't pray that the Father would save him from that hour that was about to come upon him, because he knew that his purpose was to come for the salvation of the world. That was his purpose, to come. Now, let's look further into the study of the letter of Philadelphia. And we're going now to look at the warnings that Jesus gave, if he gave any, and the instructions here. He tells them to hold fast so no one takes or seizes their crown. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 11. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. It really seems more like a word of encouragement than a word of warnings, because he is saying to them that he said, I know what you have. I know that you have salvation. I know that you have received me. And I want you to hold fast to that so that no one will take your crown. Because each believer will receive crowns according to their deeds. Now, in chapters 2 and 3, we see that Jesus calls the church to hold fast. And in chapter 2, verse 13 of Revelation, he said that the church at Pergamon was holding fast his name, although they lived where Satan's throne was. They were living in the midst of those unbelievers, and that would be where Satan's throne was, in the midst of unbelievers. And then in verse 25, he told the faithful at Thyatira to hold fast until he comes. So holding fast in that context was not giving in to false teaching and sin. In other words, he said, hold fast to your belief in me, in the gospel, and not be led astray by the false teachings and the sin. Then, as we're looking here in verse 11, he tells the Philadelphia church to hold fast what they had so that no one would take their crown. And he was coming quickly, soon. And they were preserving and they were persevering and enduring. So Jesus says in the scripture so many times that he is coming soon or he is coming quickly. Now, when we look at that, at our calendars, and look at time, when we think of something coming soon, we look at days that we have on our calendar, and we just in our mind say, well, soon, that means he may come today, he may come tomorrow, he may come next week, but it's going to be soon. Well, this soon means here in the scripture, when he says, I'm coming soon, that means when he comes, it will be quickly. And no one knows that hour or that day. But he's saying that when it happens, it's going to be quickly. In other words, we can't put a time of days or months or weeks or years on his coming when we think about him coming soon. Because God, he is not living in a time frame that we live in. He is eternal. He is without beginning and without end. So whenever Jesus, his son, comes the second time to set up his kingdom here, it will be quickly. It'll be soon. It'll happen so fast. The scripture, I believe, in one place says, as the blinking of an eye. That's how it talks about quickly. So He's saying they were to keep on doing what they had been doing. And they had a little power, and they had kept His word, and they hadn't denied His name. And they kept His word or command about patient endurance. And they were enduring with the power that they had to withstand the lies of the devil. So the power that they have is given to them because of their belief in Jesus Christ. That's where we today receive our power. And we have the power of God, only because we are believers. Unbelievers have no power because they do not have the Holy Spirit. And our power comes through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let's see what the next verses say here about overcomers and conquerors. If He had told the churches before, if they held on and became overcomers, if they held their faith, all of these things that we have seen through these instructions here, if they hold on to their faith, their belief, and then they will become overcomers, they will conquer Satan himself. They will conquer death in the grave because they have been given eternal life. So, what did Jesus say in these last verses here as we read through these verses? Let me find my place here on the scriptures. He is saying to them, if you overcome, I will make you a pillar in the temple. Okay? And that temple is the temple of God. And overcomers will not go out of the temple from it anymore. In other words, once you have overcome, you are now a pillar in the temple of God. He will make them stable in God's temple, and they won't go out. A pillar is something that is stable. It's in a building, it becomes a part of that building. And then He says, I will write on you the name of my God, name of His city, New Jerusalem, from heaven, His new name. So, He says that He's going to write God's name on them, and also the name of God's city, New Jerusalem, from heaven, and also His new name. So, every believer will receive God's name and also the New Jerusalem and also the new name that will be given. And we know that Jesus' name is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And then He tells them they'll be secure. So, how does He end these letters? And we talked about that earlier. He says at the ending of this letter, as He does in all of His letters to the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here we end this letter that Jesus has written to the church at Philadelphia. And we've seen the commendation, and then we have seen after the commendation, the warnings and the instructions, and also the message that's to the overcomers or conquerors. And then, as we complete this, we will study next week in the letter to the church at Laodicea. And we need to continue to pray for one another, pray for me, and ask God through His Holy Spirit to teach us and to give us understanding of His truth. So let us pray to end our lesson today. Heavenly Father, I thank You for every letter that Jesus wrote to the churches. And we know that the seven churches represents completeness, and that represents every church of believers today, from the time of the day when the churches were started there, as it was written at in the book of Acts, the first church being the church at Antioch, all the way up to the present day in each and every church that is a church of believers in Christ Jesus. We thank You, Father, that this letter applies to us and that we need to read and study it and see how that we, as the body of Christ, we need to repent and draw near, because we know that the time is drawing nearer for Jesus' second coming. So, Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the privilege that You give us. Thank You for each one that comes to the classes. I thank You for those that are out there in listening to these messages by tape. I pray, Father, for anyone that has not received Jesus, that, Father, that through Your Holy Spirit, that they will be convicted, they will repent and believe upon the name of Jesus and be saved. And I pray and ask this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you for listening, for being here. And continue, as I said before, to pray for one another and pray for me that I will ever be humble in the will of God to please Him. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.